Hey, there's sometimes during corporate worship when we gather together that you just don't want to get up and preach. And it's because, like today, the men who've helped us focus our hearts and minds on God have done such an amazing job at doing that. Zach, Tommy, Lee, thank you so much. That you don't want to get up here and ruin it for everybody. But I, since I did prepare something, I'm going to make you sit through it. Hopefully I don't ruin your morning. Last week, Dustin Welch spoke to us, and he talked some about names. And that got me to thinking about names and the meaning of names. And I started thinking about things that have names that are really misleading. That the thing behind the name doesn't actually match up with the name. So I came across some that I wanted to share with you. Mountain chicken. Okay, you see that? What do you think? Maybe a chicken that lives in the mountains, right? Okay, this is what a mountain chicken actually is. It's a frog. Okay. Apparently, in the Caribbean islands, there's these frogs that, and they don't even actually have mountains there, but live in the hills, and people eat them, and they've been designated mountain chickens. Okay, didn't line up at all. You guys are familiar with this guinea pig, right? Okay, these things are neither pigs or from Guinea or New Guinea. Okay, they're rodents. Terrible name. Mincemeat, right? Mincemeat. I never knew what this was until I was like, what is mincemeat? And you think it's like just finely chopped up beef or pork or something like that, right? That sounds good to me. Mincemeat is actually fruit. It says this is made with heirloom pippin apples. There's no meat in mincemeat. Why did they give it that name? Sweetbreads. All right, here's another one. Man, that sounds good. I love bread. I love sweets. It's like a big donut or something. No, wrong. It says cow pancreas. They had to give it a name like sweetbreads, I guess, so people would eat it. Why would you eat cow pancreas? That was terrible. Okay. Then there's minute rice. Okay, right? Minute. Well, how long do you think it cooks? How long do you think it would take to cook minute rice? A minute, right? No, wrong. 5 minutes. I wanted it a minute, not five. Okay, then there's the black box. We've all heard of the black box on airplanes, right? That records what's going on. So if the plane crashes or whatever, they'll have a recording of that. This is a black box. Okay, it's not a box, and it's not black. I don't know why they call it a black box, but it's actually, they're required by law to be orange, okay? And it's not even in the shape of a box, okay? Here's some other ones I found. 666 cold. This is for a devil of a cold, apparently. This backpack, I don't know what's going on here. Hey, Mom, I want a Harry Potter backpack. Well, I got you one for Obama and Sonic the Hedgehog also. This makes no sense. Okay, pea cola. What? This is a real product. I'm not drinking that. Urinal hot drink. Oh, who? What? There's a theme going here with these drinks. And then I'll just let you figure that out on your own. No thanks. We hear names, and we get an image of what should be behind those names. And if those things don't line up with a name, it can be frustrating. It can be humorous. It can be disastrous. And so this morning I want to talk about that idea. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Acts 19. We're going to start in verse 11. This chapter is a chapter in the Bible that, honestly, I don't know if many people are familiar with this. Okay? This is a chapter that is not preached on very often. I don't think I've ever actually heard a sermon from here. And it's because this is a weird chapter. Okay, there's some weird stuff that's going on here. And it doesn't line up with where we are as American Christians. We don't have these same experiences. And there's a lot of questions that get brought up because of the stories in this chapter of the Bible. And so I think, for the most part, we try to avoid it. But I want to dig into this, and I want to figure out what's going on here. I think, because there's some really cool things going on. I'm not going to be able to address everything just because of time. But let's look at Acts 19. Verse 11 says, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul." Let me stop there. Paul is in Ephesus, okay? Paul is in Ephesus. He's there preaching the good news, okay? He's there telling people about the kingdom of God. And he's doing miracles, but he's also there supporting himself. What did Paul do to support himself? He made tents, right? Okay, so he's been in Ephesus, and actually he stayed in Ephesus 2.5 years, which is longer than any other city he had stayed in his missionary journey, okay? So there's some big things happening in Ephesus. Okay, so God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. All right, there's some amazing things that are happening here. We said Paul's a tent maker. All right, when I first looked at this, I was like, handkerchiefs and aprons? Wow, weird people bringing their aprons to Paul. Hey, will you touch this? But no, this is actually what this is sweat rags, and then the aprons that Paul would use. Okay. As a tent maker, Paul was so connected to Jesus, and Jesus was working so closely through Paul that the sweat on these items were healing people and driving demons out. And this was, Paul didn't have to say anything. It was just the power of Christ working through his sweat. I would love for God to work this way through me, because I sweat a lot. All right, I'm really sweaty. I mean, there would be nobody with the common cold within 200 miles of me if God worked this way through me. But you see, this is amazing things are happening here. All right? And so people are witnessing this. The verse before this tells about Paul telling everybody, the Jews and the Gentiles, in Ephesus, about Jesus. He told everybody. Okay, people were witnessing this, and you know people had to hear about this amazing things that are happening through sweat rags and aprons, okay, of Paul. All right, so people hear about this. Verses 13 and 14. "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims.' Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this." Okay, so back in this time, there were guys that would go around performing exorcisms. All right, we don't really connect with that today. Okay, because we have prescription medicine now to deal with this. Back then, they had exorcists. And so there's obviously this group of guys that call themselves the sons of Sceva, who was supposed to be a high priest, but he actually wasn't a high priest. This is like somebody calling themselves doctor when they've never actually gone to school to do that. Okay, this is just a title. They probably hung it out outside their office. The sons of the high priest Sceva, and it sounded impressive. All right, and they would go around and for a fee, they would perform exorcisms. And the way they did this was they would do this through some kind of chanting, or they would have items, or they would use names of gods, or supposedly the unpronounceable name that only the high priest could utter of God. Okay? And so they would do this for a fee. And so these guys had either witnessed firsthand Paul's abilities, or God using Paul to heal people and drive out demons, or they had heard about it. Because it says that they started using the name of Jesus to try to do this. Okay, they got in their heads, you know what? That's some amazing stuff that's going on. We need to capitalize on that. Right? And so they go out and they try to do this. Well, let's see what happens. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize. But who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. All right. This is kind of like, this reminds me of a scene from like a slapstick horror movie. Right? And these guys go in, they think they're gonna do something awesome because they've seen Paul do it. They go in and they get torn apart. I mean, they just get handled by this demon. So much so that they run out naked. I mean, the demon doesn't just beat them, he takes their clothes. And you've got, I mean, that's, to me, and I mean, I have a weird sense of humor, that's kind of funny to think about, right? These guys running out of this house naked and they're screaming, right? Because it didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out. But it's really, this is a serious story. And it was important to the church at that time, and I think it's important to us to understand what's going on here. You see, the Spirit says, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? Okay, this evil spirit had respect for Jesus. He knew the name, and he knew to be afraid of Jesus. He knew what Paul was doing. But he didn't know who these guys were, and he knew that they didn't know who Jesus was and who Paul was. They were just using the name for their personal gain. The sons of Sceva were not using the name of Jesus Christ, or they were using the name of Jesus as if the name alone had power. But they weren't believers in Jesus as the person. They just developed faith in his name. They had faith in his ability. They believed the stories that they heard. But they didn't have faith in the person. This reminds me of so many sermons that I've heard on the importance of the name, the Church of Christ. And I don't know if you grew up the same way I did. But I heard over and over how important it is that we hold on to the name, the Church of Christ, because that name means so much. The problem was, is I never, that idea was never accompanied by knowing the person of Jesus, actually knowing Christ himself. And I think that this story can serve as a warning to the American church. Because for so long, we've had faith in a name or an action or a sacrament without having faith in the person, without knowing who Jesus actually is. The sons of Sceva, they thought they could manipulate God for selfish ends. If they had the incantations just right or the techniques down, and the process perfected, they thought that they could use God for their own purposes. But they failed to realize that Christ's power cannot be accessed by reciting his name like a magic charm. Now, the obvious parallel here is to televangelists and those guys that get up and say, hey, if you just buy this holy water, your life will be changed forever. Or, you know, there's actually... some guys that sell handkerchiefs that are supposed to heal you. Do you guys know this? You might remember. Some of you might remember. It's a guy named Oral Roberts that used to do this. There's so many these items that you can buy. And people do this for personal gain. We know that. And we know it's wrong. Most people do. There's a lot that don't, I guess. But that's the obvious parallel. But the parallel that I want to draw, like I said, is to the American church. And especially today, I think it's really evident that American Christians run around and they hold up the name of Jesus and they run into battles unprepared. We wield religious title over true spiritual authority. And we carry it around, carry the name Christian around like a banner. And we flash Bible verses in politics at the same time. We claim power by name alone. And we get torn apart by the enemy because we're either unprepared for the battle or we're in a battle that we don't need to be in the first place. If you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, then you see evidence of this. And guys, I'm really saying this out of love. I'm not trying to get down on anybody, but man, American Christians, we've got to stop what we're doing. We've got to stop trying to fight battles in the name of Christ that we have no business being in the first place. I don't know how many times I see nasty, hateful words written about a group of people in the name of Christ. We're getting torn apart by the adversary because we don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Instead, we're running around with a banner Christian. We can't be like the sons of Sceva in that way. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to start with a personal relationship with Him. And then we can tap into the power that His authority brings, that having faith in Him brings. Then we might be prepared for those battles. Another point here is that I want to get into is that this idea of exorcism, these guys were going around as exorcists. Jesus never practiced an exorcism, okay? Jesus never practiced exorcism. You're thinking, wait a minute, no, He cast demons out. Yes, He did, but He never exorcised those demons. He told them to leave. Okay? Jesus said, get out. That's what He did. And He had that ability because of the power that He possessed. He didn't have to recite anything. He didn't have to come up with a name. He just said, get out. That's that ultimate power that Jesus possesses. He gave that to His disciples. And they went out and did the same thing in His name. Okay? It wasn't because they used His name. It was because of the power that Jesus possesses. And He offers that same power to us. But we've got to know who He is. We've got to be in a relationship with Him. And we've got to understand that that power doesn't come from me. It comes from Him. And He gets to decide how to use that power. And He gets to decide when to use that power. I don't get to do that. Well, what's the result of all this? Okay? What's the result? Verses 17 through 20. And this became known, okay? These guys running out naked because they didn't understand what they were doing. This became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Okay? This is what the result of the power of the name of Jesus is. That people's lives change. All right? That they give up the old way of living and they turn to Jesus. All right? The result of the power of the name of Jesus is not winning an argument. Okay? It's not bringing someone from one political party to another political party. It is changing their life. And you see these people, they didn't just say, you know what, I'm going to believe Jesus. They said, I'm getting rid of everything that's not Jesus. right? Getting rid of it all. They came and they said, hey, we've been practicing magic, and we're going to get this stuff out of here because we know that doesn't work. All right, after we've seen what Jesus has done, we know that doesn't work, and I don't want any of that. What is it in your life that you need to get rid of? Now, you don't have to physically burn books or burn whatever it is, but what do you need to get rid of? If you're a follower of Jesus, you can't be a follower of anything else. Right? You've got to get rid of all this stuff. That's what the power of the name of Jesus does, is it changes us. It causes us to completely rely on Him. And this, why was Paul in Ephesus in the first place? Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter, because this all ties in together. All right, starting in verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. All right, so there's this group of guys that are following John. Okay, they're basically, it's like a cult of John the Baptist. All right, Paul comes up on them and he's like, well, hey, I recognize this. You guys got the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit? Well, it's pretty important. I think you need this. Okay, and he asked them into what you were baptized. They said John's baptism. John's baptism was for the repentance of sins. Okay, remission of sins. That's what John's baptism was for, to get people ready for the Christ. Okay, to get people ready for Jesus coming. This is what Paul says. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. We see from the very beginning of this chapter that the name of Jesus is central. Okay? It is what this is about. And Paul recognizes this from the very beginning when he goes into Ephesus. Right? Even people that think that they're doing the right things don't have a connection, a true connection with Jesus. And so he gives that to them. He gives them the power of the name of Jesus, the form of the Spirit. Right? Tells them that this is what you need. And so when he goes throughout Ephesus, what you see is that Ephesus was a center of power. Okay? It was a center of power. It was a center of magic power, of political power, and religious power. And Paul's ministry demonstrated that the power of the name of the Lord was greater than all of that. It's greater than any kind of power that the world may have to offer. That's what Paul demonstrated about the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul's writing to the Christians here, and he says this, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Okay? Why did Paul stay in Ephesus for 2.5 years? This is why. Because there was a lot of work to do. There were a lot of people who were under the influence of Satan, for the most part, of magic and all this stuff. And he realized, hey, there's a lot of stuff I can do here. There's a lot of darkness, and I've got a light. And so I'm going to use it. There's a lot of stuff that the power of Jesus can take care of. My friend Michael Hansen has said recently that there's this time in history, this time in America, there's no greater time to be a Christian. And it's because of this idea. There's a lot of stuff that's broken in our country. There's a lot of hurting people. Right? There's a lot of people following false things. And we need to view it the way Paul does. Right? Instead of getting so angry and upset and saying mean words to people, posting these long things that help nobody, except, I guess, ourselves, We need to look at it like Paul and say, hey, there's a wide door here for effective work. Right? It's open to all of us. But we need to tap into that power of the name of Jesus. Because we can fake it. We can fake it for a while. But we're going to be found out. A well-rehearsed formula can only last so long. There's a lot of talk about being bold and courageous. Right? Have you heard that? Be bold and courageous as Christians and stand up to Starbucks. Be bold and courageous as Christians and eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Right? Let me challenge you to be bold and courageous. But be bold and courageous in our endeavor to know Jesus. And then wield His authority properly. Not like the sons of Sceva did, but an authority that only comes from a true intimacy of knowing Him. If you want to begin that path this morning, right? If you want to enter into His kingdom, into His family, and understand what it is to be a child of God and to be a part of that powerful name of Jesus, then the way to start that is by being baptized, receiving the Spirit, right? And then you get to take part in all this fun, exciting stuff like Paul did, right? If you want to do that this morning, then let's do it. We actually do have a baptistry. It's over in that room, though. Okay, so if you're looking up here and you're like, where? Okay, it's over there. So we can do that this morning if you want to. If you just need to talk to somebody, our shepherds are available for that. If you have any other needs whatsoever, please come as we stand and sing.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.